Now, drop those French fries. If you had any idea how many calories you were about to eat, you'd never supersize again. At least that's what the state of Massachusetts hopes. Governor Deval Patrick announced a plan to require big chain restaurants to post calorie counts for almost everything on the menu, part of a program dubbed Mass in Motion, or what Jeff Jacoby called a new war on obesity and classic nanny state policy. In a column for yesterday's Boston Globe, he argued, is it really the job of the state to coerce restaurants into confronting diners with information most of them aren't interested in anyway? California, New York City, and Seattle already require such information on menus, so if you've eaten in a restaurant that posts calorie counts, did it change the way you ordered? 800-989-8255 is our phone number. Email us, talk@npr.org. You can also get into the conversation on our website at npr.org. Just click on Talk of the Nation. Jeff Jacoby, a columnist for the Boston Globe, joins us now from a studio at member station WBUR in Boston. Nice to have you on the program today.
Thank you very much, Neil.
And obesity, serious public health issue, no?
The fact that something is a serious issue doesn't mean that the government's got to start interfering in what people put into their mouths or the decisions that they make when they go out to eat. You know, there are so many things that governments at all levels try to do and can't seem to do well. All kinds of wars that governments are always, you know, declaring domestically. The war on poverty has been going on for how many decades now? It strikes me that with so much going wrong, certainly here in Massachusetts, and, you know, I don't think the other 49 states have got stellar records, that the last thing we need is to be launching a war on obesity that's going to require restaurant owners to undertake big expenses, spending tens of thousands of dollars in many cases, to pay for laboratory testing of their menu items and then have to post the information in big letters on their menus or up on the boards at the counters, all for something that common sense tells us most people are perfectly able to ignore when they want to. You know, you think about it, how many of us are going to be effectively move to lose weight or to stop eating if we've got somebody sitting at the table nagging us? You know, there's 100 extra calories in that pat of butter. Do you really need it? You know, that muffin's got 450 calories. Do you really think you need that right now? It doesn't work at home. How much less so is it going to work when we go out to eat in a chain restaurant?
Well, this doesn't cost the state any money, and a lot of people would say tens of thousands of dollars for McDonald's is pretty insignificant, and it might do some good. So what's the problem?
I've never thought that the fact that something might do some good is an argument for having the government do it, any more than the fact that something might go wrong is a slam dunk argument for not doing something. For one thing, it's patronizing. You know, we're adults. We're able to make decisions for ourselves. We don't need to have a governmental big brother or nanny or older sister or nurse looking over our shoulder telling us. And besides, the restaurant is one of the most competitive and sensitive industries that there is, extremely competitive among themselves and very sensitive to what diners want and what the public responds to. If this was something that diners were interested in, if this was something that the public wanted, restaurants would already be competing to do it. And the proof is that there are some restaurant chains like the Subway sandwich chain, which does make a big deal about providing calorie information and nutrition information and advertises that they do it and, you know, runs a commercial showing guys with great big jeans that they no longer have to wear. The market can respond if there's an interest in it. But the scientific evidence, such as it is, suggests that people are very capable of overlooking or ignoring or denying this information. And the fact that you stick it on a board in front of them is as apt to annoy them or diminish their pleasure in going out to eat as it is to make them actually change what they decide to put into their mouths.
The state could argue that, similar to like motorcycle helmet laws, that it does have a serious interest here, that people who are obese get sicker more often, have to go to the hospital more often, where they do drain public resources. And so this would save the state money down the road.
That's, you know, a seductive argument to a lot of people, and I certainly understand it, but it's also, it sends us down on a very slippery slope. That was the argument that was made about tobacco and smoking. And, you know, we've gotten to the point now where
smoking has gone down.
Smoking has gone down, but we've also gotten to the point where cities and towns are now passing laws making it illegal to smoke even outdoors, even in one's own car. You know, in custody battles, judges are deciding, well, we're not going to send the child to live with that parent because that parent smokes once in a while. There's got to be a line between saying that that anything that may have a negative health impact or anything that may be, you know, deleterious to somebody's well-being, therefore gives power to the government to enforce it. And I would hate to see us start down that path when it comes to food, especially since the vast majority of the calories that people consume, they don't consume in chain restaurants. you know, there might be a handful of people, relatively speaking, who go out and eat everything at McDonald's or who go out and eat there once a day. But the vast majority of people get most of their calories at home. And if the government launches this war on obesity and is determined to make people stop getting fatter, and it's, you know, and they see that they're not having the impact that they want when they try to force the chain restaurants to do it, it's, you know, one small step to saying, well, you don't have to have 15 stores to qualify for this law, 10 will do. And when 10 doesn't work it, you know, they'll move it down to 5. And then they'll say, well, we're going to have portion control. You don't want to start going down that path. This is a country based on the idea that people can make decisions for themselves and don't need the government to be looking over their shoulder at every turn.
Let's get some callers in on the conversation. Our guest is Jeff Jacoby, a columnist with the Boston Globe. We're talking about calorie counts mandatory on the menu for many chain restaurants in Massachusetts and California. Other cities and states enforce that as well. If you've looked at a menu with a calorie count on it, has it made any difference in what you ordered? Give us a call. 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. And Bill's on the line. Bill calling from Chicago.
Yes, actually, your guest just kind of touched on this a bit. I'm a believer in the good old-fashioned Aristotle moderation in all things. If I go and have a Cinnabon at my local mall and ingest 750 calories from that one cinnamon roll, well, maybe I'll skip eating something later on. I'm perfectly capable of making that decision, as are most grown adults. I'm one of these people who chafes at the belief that the government can, in some cases, make a more informed decision than I can as a consumer. If I'm choosing to spend my dollars, trust me to think that I've done the research to know where I'm spending my dollars. And I'll take my comments off the air. Thank you.
Bill, do you know that it's 750 calories? I think he hung up already. Anyway, but in broad measure, Jeff Jacoby, he agrees with you.
You know something, you can point to the fact that giving people information, you can assume that giving people information is something that's going to change the way they act, that they're going to take that information and they're going to make a difference in their lives. But to the extent that there is evidence, that there's been research, it certainly doesn't play out, at least when it comes to fast food and to calories. The evidence shows that the more people eat out, the less likely they are to pay attention to this kind of information. And, you know, I'm glad to hear that if Bill eats the high-calorie donut, you know, in the morning, that he'll skip something later on in the day. That shows common sense that I think a lot of people have. At the same time, we know that Americans have been getting fatter over the past 30 years. Something else that's been happening over the past 30 years is that more and more nutritional and calorie information has been put in front of them. There have now been labeling requirements since at least the 1970s. And, you know, I won't say that there's a correlation, but it's suggestive, isn't it? It's interesting that as the amount of information about what goes into our food is put before us, the American waistline has been getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So it doesn't seem to be working so far. I don't see why having the state redouble its effort and shove the information even more obtrusively in front of us is going to make a difference.
And our crack research staff has discovered that the Cinnabon, I assume this is the regular size Cinnabon, is 730 calories. So
I wish I had a crack research staff like that.
Let's get Rob on the line. Rob calling from Tacoma, Washington.
How you doing?
Good, thanks.
As I heard the beginning of this program, I was just entering a drive-through of a fast food restaurant I won't name. I knew exactly what I wanted. I was thinking about it all the way from my house to the drive-through on the way to work. As I pulled in, I saw the calorie count just as the gentleman was asking me for my order, and I absolutely froze. I couldn't get the words out of my mouth, reading the numbers and ordering what I wanted to get. I had to ask for more time twice. It took me about 10 minutes to finally do the math and decide on what I could eat and comfortably stomach.
So the calorie count information turned out to be important to you?
Stopped me dead in my tracks. I'd never seen it there before. This must be new. Stopped me dead in my tracks.
Well, there's somebody whose behavior has been changed, Jeff Jacoby.
I don't doubt it. I would never say, and I don't suggest that nobody will feel an impact if the numbers are put in front of them. It would be fatuous to say that there's no possible way that it could have any impact at all. What I do say is that most people who aren't interested in that information aren't going to start becoming interested in the information because the government's going to order restaurants to undertake the expense of putting it in front of them. And I would rather err on the side of giving people enough freedom to make a decision for themselves and not have the nanny state deciding for them whether they should eat that Cinnabon or not, than to err on the other side and say, well, we might manage to convince a few more people not to order at the fast food restaurant, so let's go ahead and do it anyway. My preference is always to err on the side of freedom. We have so many ways in which our liberties and our choices are restricted. Let this at least be one area where the government decides it doesn't have to go further.
And Rob, just out of curiosity, what was that heart-stopping number?
I believe 710.
For a hamburger kind of thing?
Yes.
Okay. I'm sure Jack will be there when you come back.
I hope so.
Rob, thanks very much. We're talking with a columnist for the Boston Globe named Jeff Jacoby about the new policy about to be instituted in the state of Massachusetts requiring calorie counts to be published in large numbers on menus and on message boards and restaurants that have more than 15 franchises operating in the state of Massachusetts. And you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I just wanted to follow up on something you were saying, Jeff Jacoby, a moment ago. Do you suspect that this is, in fact, an attempt to help reduce the business at places, at chain restaurants like McDonald's?
No, I don't think that that's the intention, but I don't doubt that it will certainly add expense. It will reduce choices that are available to consumers. It will make it more difficult for people to operate these kind of restaurants. You know, Neil, you said earlier, well, you know, if it costs tens of thousands of dollars, that's not a whole lot of money for McDonald's. After New York implemented this law, New York City implemented this rule back in the summer, the Associated Press did a story on the impact that it was having on various restaurateurs. And I was struck in particular by a quote that was in this story from a guy who runs something called Singa's Famous Pizza, which, of course, you know, the vast majority of Americans will never have heard of since it's in the borough of Queens. He's got 17 restaurants, 17 pizza places. He qualified for the law. And you know, the AP story quotes him as saying that the new rule has been an absolute nightmare. Just to read you one line from this thing. Almela spoke with the AP from his car Wednesday as he rushed sample pizzas to a food laboratory. He said the calorie test for his 35 different pizza combinations will cost $10,000. So, I raise the question, who's going to bear the cost? Who's going to bear the expense, that $10,000? Who's got to eat that $10,000? Does the owner of the restaurant have to eat the expense and simply earn less profit in an industry where profit margins aren't very high? Does he pass the costs along to his consumers, to his customers, maybe make them that much less likely to come in and order a pizza? These things all have costs. Every time government acts, there are, you know, there for whatever benefit you may be able to point to, there are also going to be detriments and losses. And the government doesn't do a great job of figuring out what kind of losses it's going to cause individuals. This isn't something that we came together into a democratic republic to do. We don't have to have a big brother looking over our shoulder telling us that we really don't need to have another hot dog.
And here's emails taking different points of view. Beverly in Louisville, Kentucky. It's easy to make fun of requests for nutrition information on menus, but people who have struggled with their weight know how often restaurants intentionally mislead you about items on the menu. They often imply, for example, that their grilled chicken salad is a low-calorie, low-fat option. Once you get the salad, you realize that with the cheese and the nuts, it can't be that low-fat, but you assure yourself that it's at least better than the alternatives. Only when you get home and check online do you find you've blown almost a day's worth of calories on a salad. And this from Peach in Sacramento, California. I work in the field of fitness and eating disorders. I want to suggest that the mandatory posting of nutritional information in restaurants may further encourage the obsession our culture already has with thinness and diet. While I'm well aware of the seriousness of obesity, I do not believe this is the most productive way to handle this growing problem. I believe that we do need to increase awareness and education about a healthy lifestyle, but I think this approach will increase obsessiveness rather than health. And let's get a caller on, and this is Lindsay. Lindsay with us from Sioux Falls in South Dakota.
Hi.
Go ahead, Hello. Lindsay.
Hi, how are you today?
Go ahead.
Good. I was just calling because I recently found out, last year my first baby was a diabetic, and I had no idea the amount of sugar at fast food and the amount of carbohydrates that were in that. And it is misleading. And I realize that, people are able to make their own decisions, but I think that if information was more easily available, I mean, people had to go and find menus for me in basements. And then they said, they were not even available. My grandma being a diabetic, I think it would just be easier for people to make their own decisions on information available. So,
okay.
Thank you.
Thanks very much, Lindsay. And let's see if we get one other caller in. This is Nancy. Nancy with us from Boston, Massachusetts.
Hi.
Hi, Nancy. You're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Thanks. I was talking listening to Jeff Jacoby talk about this, how he always wants to err on the side of freedom. He acts like this is going to turn into a police state if we let people know that Cinnabon has 730 calories in a muffin or whatever. And I just feel as though he doesn't talk about any the biggest problem with obesity right now is in our children. And they go into fast food places on their own or with their parents, and they might, in fact, be interested, or their parents might not know. A lot of people, you know, they just don't know. And I don't, when I hear someone say, oh, we shouldn't do it because it's going to be so expensive and it's going to be so terrible, my attitude is, if it's not going to cost the government anything, if it's not going to cost the taxpayer anything to put the information there, and the gathering storm of type 2 diabetes is going to cost the public something, then why shouldn't we put it on?
Okay, I don't mean to cut you off, but we have to give Jeff Jacoby a chance to respond.
You know, I don't minimize for a moment the problem of obesity among adults as well as children. I'm the father of two young kids, and I see the shape that some of their friends have. But if we think that we're going to fight a war on obesity or win a war against obesity in chain restaurants, in fast food places, we've all got another thing coming. I said it before, the overwhelming majority of calories that people take in, they take in at home. They don't take in when they go out to Burger King or to McDonald's. And the idea that because obesity is a problem, therefore the government is empowered to order restaurant owners to undertake the cost that's involved in analyzing every single possible product that they sell with every single possible combination and post that information and shove it in front of diners, most of whom probably aren't going to be interested in seeing it in the first place, because there is a relatively small number of people, Jeff, who might benefit from it, I don't think is a good argument. We're able to take care of ourselves.
I have to cut you off too, but we're all out of time. Nancy, thank you for the call. Jeff Jacoby, thank you so much for your time today. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Neil.
Tomorrow, the many challenges Barack Obama inherits as he takes office. Ted Koppel will join us for a discussion with David Sanger of the New York Times about his book, The Inheritance. I'm Neil Conan. This is NPR News.